This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, listen to that music. Makes me feel good. Oh, my goodness. Hello, and welcome to That Josh Arnold Podcast. I'm glad you've returned, and if this is your first time, welcome. It's always good to have, veterans as well as rookies. And if this is your first time listening, my goodness, what a week to tune in. Why, you may ask? Well, because of the guest I have. Oh, my, oh my. I'm glad this person's here because I don't know if I have, it's one of those weeks where I just don't know if I have that much to say, and I'm going to kind of rely on my guest to help me out here. My guest this week is you! Oh, how are you? You look good. I hope you're feeling good. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. What is this, the third week of January? And it's cold, and we've had issues here at the studio. In fact, the water heater broke, so you may hear some clanging and banging around because I'm in the basement and there's some men over there replacing the water heater. So if you hear anything, just ignore it. It's just it's just a couple guys doing a much manlier job than I will ever have. So anyway, I'm glad to get that replaced. We've been washing our hands with cold water for a couple days, and well, you just don't feel like it's as effective, do you? You feel like the heat has a lot to do with killing the germs and the bacteria, and happy to get that fixed. Also happy to have a terrific sponsor this week. Certainly one of my favorite things, and perhaps one of yours. This week's sponsor, shoes. That's right. Aren't you happy to have shoes? I mean, without shoes, our feet would be generally colder, you know. Especially in the wintertime, shoes help keep your feet warmer than they would be if you weren't wearing them. And also, my favorite thing about shoes, you don't step on things that would hurt normally. You know what I mean? Like if you, let's say you were walking along a rocky path, well, you would certainly want to have your shoes with you, don't you? Otherwise, you know, doesn't feel too good. And shoes can do other. They can hide unsightly feet. You know, maybe you have ugly feet. You don't really want to show them off. Well, thank goodness for those shoes. Or you have foot odor. Well, the shoes might keep some of that odor trapped in. So many good reasons for having shoes. And I would like to thank them for sponsoring this week's podcast. And why don't you enjoy some shoes this week? I know I will. I don't want to step on anything without them. Speaking of enjoying things, man, there was a bunch I enjoyed this week. There was the start of the NHL season. I watched some hockey. A really good game Sunday. Capitals versus Pittsburgh Penguins. So it was, we had Ovechkin versus Sid the Kid. And then that was a really fun game that went to a shootout. Good football. My gosh, some great games. More coming up this weekend. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you I was Sunday morning as I was cooking breakfast. I was flipping through the channels just to have something on, kind of on in the background there while I cook. And if I didn't stumble across not only Married with Children, which I was thrilled to stumble across, but I stumbled across it at the very beginning of one of my all-time favorite episodes. It's an early episode. It's from season two of Married with Children. So late 80s, I think like 87 or something. And the episode is called Buck Can Do It. And it's about Buck, the Bundy's dog. If you're not familiar with Married with Children, well, my goodness, what have you been doing? So, you know, about Al and Peg Bundy and their kids, Kelly and Bud. And they have a dog, Buck. And, well, Buck was causing trouble in this episode. He was roaming the neighborhood seeking out female companionship and impregnating a lot of the neighborhood dogs, and which was causing the neighborhood to be filled with, as one angry neighbor said, ugly, stupid dogs. So it's come up that, hey, this guy's going to sue. Buck got his, like, gorgeous show dog pregnant or whatever. And so this neighbor is quite upset. He's going to take the Bundys to court unless they get Buck neutered. And, well, Al doesn't want to do it. And he ends up having a dream where Buck is like a full-grown person, sort of almost Chewbacca-esque, and they're having a conversation about whether or not to get him neutered. And it makes me howl. It's so funny. It makes me laugh like a kid. Well, I mean, why not? Because a lot of the jokes are very sophomoric and crude and ridiculous, and I just love it. But that's actually not the thing I mean, it's one of the things I enjoyed this week. I went on a little long about that, considering it's not the thing I wanted to tell you so much about. I also saw a terrific movie that's now on Amazon Prime. It premiered on it, called One Night in Miami. It's a great movie. It's a cool flick. It's about Malcolm X, Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, and Sam Cooke, all in a hotel room after an Ali fight down in Miami. And they pretty much spend the entire movie discussing their separate philosophies on the civil rights movement and what they're doing for it and how they feel about it and what they think is best. And a lot of their philosophies intersect, and some of them differ quite a bit, and they get into some arguments about the best routes to take. And the acting is just powerhouse performances by the four main leads, and the script is wonderful, and it's a good flick, pretty powerful stuff, and interesting and funny and cool, and it's really good. But what it led me to was, as I was watching it, I went, man, this really feels like a play. It's most of the action is taking place in one room, and the way it's written, it's just like, oh boy, I bet this would have been a good play. Well, foolish me, lo and behold, of course it was a play. The movie's based on an off-Broadway play by the same name, One Night in Miami. And it got me thinking about theater, and I went back and read one of my favorite plays that's similar. It's almost kind of a chamber play where it's one location, minimal sets and costuming and stuff, and a smaller cast. And I went back and I read one of my favorites, and that's what I'd like to tell you about this week. It's called Art by Yasmina Reza. And the reason I'd like to talk to you about this is because maybe some of you have never read a play before, or if you have, it's been Shakespeare in, junior high or high school, or, Tennessee Williams, The Glass Menagerie, that kind of thing. I guess what I'm saying is, when you learn to read theater in school, it can be pretty dry and maybe even feel somewhat inaccessible and not very exciting. Well, it's a shame, I think, that schools aren't teaching a lot more, maybe more modern theater, because it can be wonderful to read, and Art is definitely one of those plays. It's about three guys who are long-time friends, and one of them It's also one of my favorite subjects to debate about, too. So I do have somewhat of a bias on this. But one of the friends buys a painting for an astronomical sum. It's like 200,000 francs. Well, because the play was written in French. I did not read it in French. I read the wonderful Christopher Hampton translation. So if you're already thinking that the thing I enjoyed this week was stuffy and pretentious, it doesn't get that far. I didn't read the French. But the guy buys this painting for a huge amount of money, and it's just a white painting. It's just the painting, when you look at it, it's all white. It's just white. Now, the guy who bought it claims that there are many shades of white in there. And in one of the funnier lines of the play, he actually says he thinks he sees a bit of red, which he doesn't. But the friends end up having a gigantic debate about whether or not that's art, if a all-white painting can be considered art. And this turns into the three of them sort of assaulting each other's lives. Like they question each other's decisions in life and some of the idiosyncrasies they have. And you think for a while there that man, these guys might come to blows. It is a comedy. It's high comedy. It's really good. It's very funny. Oh my gosh. It came out in the 90s, and the first Broadway run, the three actors were played by Alan Alda, Victor Garber, who he's one of those guys you've definitely seen. He was the architect of the Titanic in James Cameron's Titanic, and the great Alfred Molina. What a cast! I mean, they must have blown audiences just out of their seats with this. But check it out if you've never read a play. Start there. Start with art. I think you're really going to get a kick out of it. And hey, and if you already know that's not your thing, that's okay. But I certainly enjoyed revisiting this week. I was lucky enough to see it live a couple times in a couple different theaters. None with as stellar a cast as that first Broadway in terms of name recognition, but in terms of performance. Oh, boy. I saw one in London when I went to school there, and I saw one in St. Louis, and both just awesome. It's a terrific play. I hope maybe you check it out. And you know what? I just realized I did things a little bit in reverse today. I should have been more careful with my preparation. Some of you are wondering, well, how the hell did we get to what you enjoyed this week when we never even made it through Vocabulary Station? Man, oh man, there may be some of you who only listen to the podcast for Vocabulary Station and then bail. And man, did I just mess up your day? Well, I apologize. That was on me. I can't blame the conductors. I can't do anything else. I can't blame Jason, the producer. He was staring at me as I was talking about art, and I was thinking, oh, he's really interested in this. I might be converting some people who have never read a play into reading a play. And little did I know, he was staring at me like, hey, idiot, you didn't go to Vocabulary Station. Because it does mess things up. We didn't play we're here now. We're at Vocabulary Station. Let's just see who's here to visit us. And my gosh, if there isn't a word, hey, this is a cool word, and it was sent in. This is the first submission word on That Josh Arnold Podcast. And I'd like to thank Matthew Machino of the Cherry Dynasty. That is dumb. It's Maraschino. But if you hadn't bailed because you weren't getting Vocabulary Station, you certainly bailed after that. But Matt, you know what? He signs it Matthew in all of these, so I better not call him Matt. He might hate it. But Matthew says his wife introduced him to this word, and he thought, hey, what the heck? Maybe Josh would like it, and I do. This is a good one. It's misophonia. Oh, misophonia. You know what? Up front, I told you I was going to rely on you a lot of this part because I didn't feel like I had anything. And so you can't blame me at this point. Misophonia, it's a disorder in which certain sounds trigger emotional or physiological responses that some might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstance. So it's literally a sound. It's a sound that might literally drive someone crazy. Boy, what a word. Misophonia, and what a condition. The reactions can range from just annoyance to anger to panic. And I don't think I have. You know what? There are plenty of sounds that annoy me, but I wouldn't say I have misophonia per se. I can usually handle it. I can go, oh, geez, I wish that would go away. The closest thing that I think I have to misophonia is when they do those emergency broadcast tests on TV. And no matter how high your volume is on the TV, it always seems to be 10 times higher when these things just come on out of nowhere, sort of seemingly random. And it's just an awful sound, and it interrupts whatever you're watching. And if you're across the room, you have to run and get the remote to shut it off or just let it play. It's just a terrible sound. And that does fill me with annoyance, and then I get angry. And when I first hear it, I panic because it's like an alarm sound. So that's probably, if I do have misophonia, it's for that sound. Some of you probably have misophonia from, alarm clocks or other things. Oh, boy, you know what I just thought of here, Jason? Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody's misophonia was caused by the sound of a steam engine? Oh, man, we could very well, that train whistle there, we could very well be sending somebody over the edge. I hope not. But maybe there's somebody in your life that gives you misophonia. I bet if I were to ask Chick, he might say that Tom's voice gives him quite a case of misophonia. But anyway, great word, Matthew. Thank you, and thank you to the misses. You guys are both there in Springfield, Missouri, a wonderful town, and the Lake of the Ozarks area, Camdenton. I know Camdenton very well. Very well. So that's great. Thank you. If you'd like to send in anything, well, not anything. I mean, if you just want to send in a question for me or something, it's at joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. Feel free to do so. So I already kind of talked about what I enjoyed this week, but we got to hear the music. Oh, yeah. Let's, you know what? This song, there's no way this song causes misophonia in any way. I'm convinced of it. Even a misophoniac would overcome their disorder and dance to this. I'm certain of it. Hey, that's a good image, right? I like to have little stories to go along with this song. So let's say there's a man in a mental hospital. Not that misophoniacs belong in mental hospitals, but this guy's got other issues. And he's wearing a straitjacket. I mean, he needs to be... He's fit to be tied, literally. And he hears this song. And my goodness, if everything doesn't change, he becomes immediately sane. And he politely asks the doctors there if he can go outside for the afternoon. And they say, you know what? You seem to be in a pretty good disposition. Yes. And he goes outside and dances down the street in a straitjacket. All right. You guys responded so kindly to last week's podcast about my days as an usher and whatnot at movie theaters. It was so fun for me to talk about, and I'm really glad you guys enjoyed listening to it. In fact, I had somebody write in saying that they lived in the St. Louis area and knew Werenberg Theater as well. And I also had people write in saying that they worked at movie theaters and really enjoyed their time there. In fact, Dan writes in, and he said he really, it brought back great memories for him to think about how, you know, he tried to be cool in front of the female co-workers at his movie theater. But he brought something up that is it really tickled me because, he's dead on here. He says, if your experience working at a movie theater was anything like mine, you as an usher also developed a sixth sense on when you needed to go do a, quote, quick check of the theater when some nudity during an R-rated flick was going on. And he says during those pre-internet days, there was nothing better. And Dan, you're absolutely right. There was kind of a sixth sense where you would be sweeping popcorn in a hallway and all of a sudden go, you know what? I think that scene's coming up. And you you would sort of walk down. You say, I'm going to go check the temperature in house number 3. And you would go into the theater and lo and behold, there was the nude scene or maybe a cool action scene or a funny joke in a comedy or something you just wanted to catch. But the nudity thing, I remember we had Disclosure, the movie with Michael Douglas, where he was sexually harassed by his boss, Demi Moore. And that scene where she really tries to get him to sleep with her is so hot. I guess part of it was meant to be disturbing because he's not interested in this. But, oh, he kind of is, but he's not. And I was 17 or something? And that was as hot a scene as anything on celluloid at the time. And I'm not joking when there were people in that theater watching the movie who, if they had turned around, they would have seen no less than 6 ushers standing in the back of the theater. Disclosure. My goodness. And it's even not like it doesn't get very graphic. I don't think there's any nudity, but it's just so incredibly hot. Demi Moore's in her prime, and man, that's also a good movie. It's a cool flick if you ever want to watch it, but that's certainly the icing on the cake there. So yes, Dan, yes, I do remember as you call it, a sixth sense when those things were going to be happening. I'm trying to think if there are any other. that's really the only one that springs to mind. But man, yes, I was also thinking about a story that I forgot to tell last week about when I was a manager at a movie theater, and the general manager was one of my best friends, Jason, and he was my boss, even though I was sort of the boss of the ushers and stuff like that. He was the head guy. He was the main dude. And he actually initially hired me when I was 16. And we ended up working together a lot at different theaters. And he did become one of my best friends. And one day, he had a big Meg Ryan thing. He loved Meg Ryan. And there was a trailer. This was at if you've heard the New Year's podcast that I did about working at a movie theater, this was that theater. It was the 3-screen theater, and we did everything as managers, including running projection. Well, he was up running. He was starting a movie in the projection booth, and I was at the other end of the theater, cleaning or something. And he comes over. He says, "Yeah, I just started house number 3, and the trailer for Courage Under Fire is on." And he's telling me this over walkie-talkies. We each have a walkie-talkie. And a lot of times you would have the volume on the walkie-talkie super loud so that you didn't have to, like, you could just have it hanging on your belt, which we did. So I would hear him go, "Hey, can I get some help in theater number 2 clean?" And I would go, "Oh," and then I would hit the button and go, "Yeah, I'll be right there." So so I hear him say, "Man, the trailer for Courage Under Fire is on." And a few seconds later, he goes, "Oh, Meg Ryan." And so I take my walkie-talkie off my belt and I put it to my mouth and kind of quietly I go, are you masturbating? And not only do I hear it come from my mouth, I hear it loudly blare from his walkie-talkie attached to his belt as he makes his way through a crowded concession line. So there are dozens of people surrounding him who just hear, are you masturbating? Come from the... And I look up, because I heard it, and I look up, and his eyes meet mine, and he's so embarrassed and so mad that he just turns around and just walked into the manager's office. man, and I got a talking to later on, because at the theater, even though we were best friends, he was certainly my boss, and I got a talking to about, hey, let's not say inappropriate things on the walkie-talkies. He also got really mad at me one day because we got a new label maker, and I decided to label everything. I was labeling just everything in the office. And like I made a label that said labels and I put it on the labels and he goes, Josh, man, dude, these labels are so expensive and we have a budget or whatever. Like we have a certain office supply budget. And the thing about it was the budgets, part of his salary was based on the budget. So if he was under budget each year, he would get like a big bonus. And so I could see why he was being protective of the budget. But he goes, man, these labels are super expensive. Please don't waste those. And I go, okay. And so then I made a label that said, the label tape for the label maker is very expensive. Please do not waste label tape. And I made it all. It was like a 3-foot long label. And I put it up on the office wall for other people to see. And boy, did he not care for that. He did not think that was funny. I bet later he thought it was funny, but I know. Jason, miss you, buddy. So, what else do we have here? I got a couple other letters here. Oh man, this is a pretty good question. It says, first off, Mark read The Lottery, the thing I enjoyed last week, the short story by Shirley Jackson. He said excellent little tale. He really enjoyed it. Good. That's great, man. I'm glad you liked it. He says he knows I enjoy horror movies and movies in general, but Mark wonders if I've ever dabbled in the comic book world. He's a big fan and always has been and always will be. Thank you, Mark. Oh, man. He signs it Mark, his last name, Esquire. I love that. Whether you did that as a joke or not, love it. Okay. The answer's not really. I haven't dabbled much in comic books. I've read a decent amount of graphic novels, especially the classics, Watchmen and Road to Perdition and From Hell, and a lot of them, those three for sure, were all turned into movies. I've read almost all of the Sin Cities and the Green River Killer and a few other really good graphic novels. Watchmen was named one of the 100 greatest novels of all time, and boy, is it. That is literature. That's not just a... I mean, anybody who excuses some of these things as just comic books, you're doing the medium and yourself a disservice. They just terrific writing. But in terms of like the superhero stuff, I never really did. I own a pretty wide collection, these really nice hardbound reproductions of a lot of the EC comics, Tales from the Crypt, Haunt of Fear. Combat, MD, and crime suspense stories, that kind of stuff, or shock suspense. So yeah, I've got like these really beautiful hardbound versions of those, and I really like them a lot. Love them, in fact. And that's about as far as I've gotten into comics. But there's, you know, I should probably be reading more. I've always loved the character Spawn. My introduction to it was from the HBO animated series, which is just awesome. And so I should probably go back and take a look at some of those comics. Maybe there's some reproductions out there. Yeah, so not a big fan. I'm a fan, but I'm not a big consumer of them. And I'll keep checking out some graphic novels and stuff. If you have any recommendations, joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. What else came in over the week? Mark, a different Mark. Oh, no, wait, I just did that one. I'm sorry. What an idiot. I had these all. This always happens. Whenever I have stacks of things or whatever, I get like paper. I'm like, oh, I'm going to print these out. And I always just shuffle them up, and it never goes smoothly. And then I have to waste your time with me complaining about how I suck. So what do we got here? We have Scott. Scott says, hey, we all know you like to watch Hallmark movies. I do. It says, what other guilty pleasures do you have? Oh, what a fun question. Here's kind of my thing on guilty pleasures, though. I don't consider them guilty pleasures. If I like something, I just like it. I totally get the term. I'm not trying to lawyer the term away or suggest it's an inappropriate way to describe these things because, yeah, you know, it makes sense. It's like, oh, man, I really like this, but I'm kind of embarrassed about it and feel guilty. I just decided a while ago that I wasn't going to feel guilty or embarrassed about things I like anymore. Well, I can't help it. I just like them. I get more upset about things I don't like because I don't like to not like things. When I see a movie I don't like, I go, I wish I liked it. Or if somebody's raving, you know, if this happens a lot on the morning show, everybody will be talking about how great, I don't know, Kanye is or whatever. And I'm like, maybe, but it's just not for me. I wish I liked it. I don't like not liking it. I just. So anyway, guilty pleasures. Well, I mean, I already mentioned. I guess what I can do is talk about things that some folks would. Maybe some people would consider not very quality that I think is. I mentioned Married with Children earlier. I'm sure there are plenty of you who don't care for that show, which is totally fine. I just happen to love it. I think all they want to do is make you laugh. That's all that show wants to do. They're not trying to do anything else. And they just throw every joke at you that they can, and some land and some don't. And I really respect the effort, but I really do laugh at it. I do think it's funny. What else are some of my, you know what I used to be embarrassed about liking, but I, you know, since I decided not to be, I just don't. I embrace Linkin Park. I have a lot of music fan friends who would, they just scream at me for some of my musical choices. I think Linkin Park's got some cool stuff. And there are a lot of bands I like that I have no problem going to concerts by myself. I do it a lot, and much of the time it's because no one else is interested in going to see, I don't know, Godsmack with me or whatever. So what else would be a? I'm trying to think of some of my favorite movies that. You know what? There are movies like Hudson Hawk that I think are super entertaining that people just think are terrible. But luckily, I think we've come to a kind of an age where if you have a guilty pleasure, you can find, whether it be online or at some sort of convention or at or maybe at your school, there's a group or something where... the guilty pleasures are celebrated, you know, like sometimes ironically, sometimes very like earnestly, and it's great. I could type in Married with Children, and I'm sure I would find a bunch of Reddit pages or groups that's all they want to discuss and talk about. And the idea of having a guilty pleasure these days is sort of silly, because it's like, hey, there are people out there that like the same things you like and will very honestly embrace them and talk about their merits with you. And, you know, I guess there was a time where you felt pretty alone with some of the stuff you liked. I love horror movies, and the thing that I think most people are shocked by when it comes to horror movie fans is, if you were to go to a horror movie convention where there are thousands of people dressed up as screen villains, murderers, ghosts, demons, whatever, and they are all, you know, they're sort of gothy and emo and wearing black and looking, you know, if you were to go into one of those conventions, you would find some of the nicest, happiest people you've ever seen. It's not what you'd expect. It's not a bunch of dour, morbid, depressed people. They are thrilled. And yes, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're with their people. You know what I mean? They know they're in an area where being somewhat of a misfit is celebrated. And so, yeah, they feel like they're in a judgment-free zone, which they are, of course. But what I love about it is, if you walked in wearing a button-up shirt and a tie and khaki pants, you're not a misfit. You know what I mean? You would be met with kindness and excitement, and it's just wonderfully open. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you think that just because somebody likes a certain genre or something like that, and that you assume that they're going to reflect sort of the tones of that genre, like horror, not always. And in fact, most of the time, that's just not the case. It's pretty cool. So, boy, I think it would be interesting to go to a convention for something that you knew nothing about. The only conventions I've been to in my life have been horror conventions and baseball conventions, because I would work the All-Star Game weeks for years when I worked with Rawlings Sporting Goods, which I'm sure those podcasts will come up in the future. And that was the same thing. Baseball conventions are pretty interesting. The people that come out to them are a varied group. And again, so excited, so happy, so nice. And it's a pretty fun thing when you're surrounded by people who love the same things you do. It's pretty cool. And I happen to think it's funny to be surrounded by people who don't always like the same things I do, a la my snooty music friends who would yell at me for saying that the Counting Crows album August and Everything After is one of my favorite albums. I can't help it. It's one of my favorites. And I have plenty of friends who would rip on me for that. And they do rip on me for it. And I think it's funny. And So, yes, great question there, Scott. I'd like to hear some of your guilty pleasures. Send them to me, joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. And I think what we should work on this week is something that is, well, along these lines. So let's... Well, you know how embarrassing it is to be interrupted by your own segment music? Not very. So, what we should work on this week? I'm going to do it. I hope you do, too. Try something you wouldn't normally try. And you know, when I wrote that down in my head, I wasn't thinking like, you know what, I've never had chicken liver. I'm going to try that tonight. I wasn't really thinking along the lines of food or anything like that. It was more along the lines of if you've never listened to opera and wondered what it was about, this week, listen to some opera. Or if you've never watched a soccer game, you know, a European football game, maybe try to find one this weekend and see what you think. Maybe you could go back to the thing I enjoyed this week. If you've never read a play, give that a shot. Now, I'm not asking you to do things that you already know you don't enjoy or that you're even closed off to. You know, if the idea of watching a ballet really, really turns you off, well, you may not go into it with the right attitude. And maybe even no matter how good it is, you may not enjoy it at all. You know what I mean? So if there's something that has you've always kind of been curious about just a little bit, or you have something that your friends have talked about and they're into, and you went, all right, you know what? Maybe it's time I give that a shot. Do it this week. Branch out a little bit. I need to, and I'm going to, and next week I'll tell you what it was that I did, because I don't know yet. But I'll think about it, and I think this would be a fun little experiment. So join me on it, and thank you for joining me today, and please join me again next week.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.